In the first letter of St. Peter, we are told that it is the definition of a Christian that they love Christ whom they have not seen. Unless we love Christ, we are not his true disciples. And we cannot love him unless we have a heartfelt gratitude for all that he suffered for us. And I do not think we will have a heartfelt gratitude if we do not feel deeply what he suffered for us. For does anyone really love Christ who does not feel distress at his agony, knowing that our sins are the cause of his sufferings? Now, feelings are not enough, and we all know that to feel and not to do is not true love, but is a mockery of love. True love both feels right and acts right. But just as feeling and not doing is hypocrisy, so doing what is right without feeling deeply is imperfect faith. On this day, my friends, we are called to have sorrow and shame, compunction and gratitude, love and anguish at the awful sufferings that were the price of our salvation. Let us ask God to give us all these graces. Let us ask God to make us really holy, but also to give us the beauty of holiness, which is that eager love toward our Savior. If we both are really holy and have the beauty of holiness, then our faith will be both strong and attractive. So how do we learn to feel properly the love and anguish that our Lord's suffering should excite in us? By thinking and by dwelling on our thoughts of Christ's suffering. Carefully thinking about the events of the gospel will make them for us not just stories in a book, but they will become for us what they truly are, real historical events. Everyone can do this. Everyone can read the scriptures or listen to them, as we have just listened to the Gospel of John. And now I will just share with you a few reflections that will help us to open our hearts to the words that we have heard. We heard in the first reading that our Lord is compared to a lamb. Isaiah wrote, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." A lamb is something that is defenseless and innocent. We can think of what horror we feel when we hear tales of cruelty done to animals, and rightly so, how awful we feel when perhaps by chance we come across in the news some horrible tale of cruelty done to a defenseless and innocent animal. I think what in particular makes us feel so awful is that we realize these animals have done no harm and that they have no means of protecting themselves. There is something so satanic in tormenting something that has done us no harm and who cannot defend itself, that we cannot endure the thought of that. Well, that was our Savior's condition. He was innocent and defenseless. He had laid aside his glory in becoming man. He had disbanded the legions of angels that could have been there to save him. He humbled himself so that he could suffer for our sins. If we think of the cruelty done to animals and the anguish we feel at that, that is just a shadow of the anguish we should have for the sufferings of the innocent Son of God. Think of another circumstance. Think of someone you have always known and loved, someone who has always smiled upon you, has always encouraged you, been kind to you, given you good advice, helped you through your life. Think of how holy and good that person is. They spend their life doing good for others. Now, what if that person was seized by violent men, stripped naked in public, scourged on his back with whips, pulled back and forth between courtrooms, mocked by those who owed him so much, dressed up in clothes to be ridiculed, had a heavy load placed on his shoulders, and was finally killed in the sight of a jeering crowd? How awful we would feel. And yet that is nothing compared to what our Savior has suffered for us. Almighty God stretched out his arms on the cross for our sins. Those who stood by the cross did not stand by stoically, with no feelings of remorse or anguish. Of course, the pure heart, the immaculate heart of Our Lady, knew no sorrow for her personal sins, but she did know sorrow at seeing her beloved Son crucified. St. John was also there, the beloved disciple. What anguish must have filled his heart as he saw the Savior, as he saw the one with whom he had spent the past 3 years learning. What anguish must have filled his heart. And then, of course, Mary Magdalene, who had known the tender forgiveness of the Savior. What sorrow must have moved her heart. So, my friends, if we do not feel as we should the anguish and sorrow when we think of our Lord's crucifixion, it may be that it is through our own fault that we have not given attention to these words as we ought to, that we have not given ourselves over to thinking and dwelling upon the thoughts that the Passion should excite in us. So let us make then the resolution to listen carefully to the words of Scripture and to ask our Lord to open our hearts to him. Because as we heard in the Gospel, we shall look on him whom we have pierced at that great day, the day of judgment, the day of our death, when our Savior will come to us with his wounded hands and feet and side. If we think well now upon those wounds he bore for us, then at the day of judgment we shall be able to rejoice, for we will know that he suffered for us and that his suffering has not been in vain.